Coming up on Which Way Is Life, episode number 6, my guest today, positivity coach Carol Miller. Learn why you can improve your life by being more kind and gentle to yourself, how to overcome negative thoughts, learn where true happiness comes from, and a cool strategy on how to deal with frustrating people. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt that's real. Real Salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
Oh, yeah. Very excited to have Carol Miller on the show today. Carol C.C. Miller, a positivity consultant. Her simple mission: to empower others to fully live, love, and laugh. Carol believes in seeing love over fear, health over illness, abundance over scarcity, and always peace over conflict. I love that. Carol, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Can you let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Well, I think that when I'm not saving the world, I'm saving myself. I'm just here enjoying the ride.
That is all it takes sometimes, that's for sure. Well, Carol, I like to start the show with what I call the one thing. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Absolutely. And that is to find gratitude in everything. When we're having our life is going well, it's easy to be grateful. But when we're dealing with challenges, then we need to dig a little deeper. So find something today to be grateful for, and that will change your day.
All right. You know, we all want to live a good life and have better health, but for many of us, you know, we get bogged down with the stress of everyday living. How can we achieve better health and less stress through positivity?
You know, for me, it really comes down to what we focus on in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So if we're able to start focusing on being gentler with ourselves and kinder to ourselves, then that relieves the stress and the busyness of our lives. So for me, the first thing is to do is to just start being more gentle with myself. And when I catch myself thinking negative thoughts, I actually tell people, it's like, congratulate yourself because you're aware of it. And when you're aware of things, you can make that change. So congratulate yourself for catching yourself when you're beating yourself up, and then switch it to something that's a little gentler to help you through the day.
So thoughts, words, and actions, and let's get rid of the negative self-talk, right, Carol? Come on now. No more negative
exactly,
self-talk.
Exactly, but you know what? It's important not to beat up negativity because it's there to help us grow. It's when we're focused on more negativity than we are positivity. But when something is not going well in my life and I'm getting that negative frame of mind, then I'm able to say, this is not what I want. What do I want? And then I shift it into a positive space. So negativity really isn't our enemy unless we live there. Then it's a challenge.
Great point. I'm glad you brought that up. So some negativity is okay, but the important part is being aware of it. And if negativity is dominating your thoughts, refocus on positive thoughts. I will get healthy. I will achieve my goals. This situation will work out.
Right. And I'm a big word person. That is a trigger for me. So I don't really even focus on good or bad as far as how it feels in my body and how it, when I'm saying something, does it feel good to me to say that? And then I will reframe it to be in a better feeling place. But really, negativity isn't necessarily bad because it does allow us to shift our thoughts into what we're wanting. I can't imagine, maybe the Dalai Lama is 100% positive, but I suspect most of us walking this earth are somewhere between 50 and 75% would be my guess. But it's focusing, the more you can focus on what you want, the more you're going to create from there.
All right, that's a good distinction. And maybe this plays into the next question. You talk about shifting from contrast to clarity. Can you explain that a bit?
Exactly. I think you've, especially when you're in a space in your life where you're dealing with something you don't like, it's so easy to talk about that. My boss is unfair to me, I work too many hours, or whatever, you know, I'm not paid well enough. But so that's the contrast. So I ask people, take that contrast, like my boss is unfair to me. Well, what do I want? I want a boss who supports me and helps me grow. So that contrast that I'm dealing with right now allows me to find the clarity of what I do want. Now, I can stay focused on what I don't want, and it's easy to talk about it when we're in the middle of it, but that's what's going to create more of the contrast. So if we allow that contrasting experience to shift us into a better feeling thought, and if it's, I mean, we all deal with tragedy and sadness in our lives. You know, a loved one dies, a job isn't what we want it to be. So I'm not saying, you know, be in depression and then reach for joy. That's too big of a leap, but we can start those little baby steps into feeling better.
So say I have the boss that I don't like, or I'm thinking the negative thoughts about him. You say, understand that and shift the focus to clarity on what I do want. Well, how do we get out of that situation that if I'm I realize what I do want in a boss or in a spouse or in a relationship. How do we get to that position of positivity instead of negativity?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. And first of all, to realize that true happiness comes from within. So regardless of what your boss or your spouse or anyone in your life is doing, you still have the choice to be happy without their input. I always say other people enhance my life. They don't make it. So the more I'm focused on what I want, then I create more of it. For an example, prior to starting Positive Focus and coaching, I worked for a company where it was just the offshoot here in Chicago. We were a small office in Chicago, and the main office was in another state, and it was filled with negativity, and I had to be in meetings with them all the time. And that is what I focused on. It's like, I don't want another negative meeting. And then I realized I am creating that. So I started focusing on being in easy meetings and laughing and having joy, which we had in our Chicago office. And then I started getting, and I didn't have to attend those meetings as much. So it didn't necessarily mean the culture of that meeting changed, but my participation in that culture changed. So it could be that when you're focusing on having a kinder boss, that just that energy of you putting it out there, your boss is going to shift around you. Or it could be that you find out that you can get a whole new job someplace else in the environment you want. It's really about focusing on what you want rather than placing the attention on what you don't want.
You're living in that place of what you want and visualizing what you where you want to be instead of living in that negative spot. And you had a great line, other people enhance my life, they don't make it. So, you know,
correct.
That's important too. We make it, we control ourselves, we make our own choices. So you can choose to feel differently about that. Here's a couple things from you that I want to ask you about. You say, knowing you are worthy of living your dreams. Again, it's a great line. You know, I think many people live every day with low self-worth, and we were just talking about it, horrible negative self-talk. You know, we're basically sabotaging any chance we have at living an inspired, healthy life. Why do we do this? And, you know, again, how do we break out of that?
You know, for me personally, I think anything that we're lacking in our lives comes from self-worth. And I suspect all of us, I know I do in different areas of my life, feel less worthy than other areas where I'm more confident. So, again, it's being aware of it. And I'm a big believer in affirmations. And I think some people don't understand the purpose behind affirmations and the continuing to repeat it is the fact that you are changing programming in your head that maybe you heard from your parents or teachers, or you said to yourself as a kid, you know, I'm stupid, I'm not a good athlete, or whatever we've told ourselves over the years, you know, it is now ingrained in us. So we start focusing on, again, what we want. And when I really encourage people, like, if you want something big, ask yourself, do you really feel that you're worthy of that? Because if you're not, then bring that goal down a little bit to something that you really can see yourself doing and grow from there. But when affirmations and things don't work, for me, it's because I say, oh, I want $1 million. But then if I immediately follow that in my head saying, well, the job you do right now is not going to pay you $1 million, then I'm sabotaging myself from that. So I would go into something that felt more real to me to be able to achieve. And like anything, you know, it really depends, because there are some people who are in deep-seated unworthiness, and wanting anything of value is going to be hard. So it's the baby steps to get there. And it's really focusing on life is a journey. It really isn't the destination. I suspect you, like me, have dreamed of a particular car or a particular vacation or a particular something. And once we have it, we enjoy it, but then you're on to the next thing. Now what's next? So it's about enjoying the process of life rather than getting what we want out of life.
That makes so much sense. Here's another one. It's so easy to live a mediocre life. Why do we sometimes settle, and how do we get the life we truly want?
I think it's easy to settle in because it's comfortable. People tend to not like change. Even things that you want in your life, it's scary for the change of it because you don't know what's expected of you. People stay in relationships a lot longer than probably they should because they know what's expected. They stay in jobs longer than they should because they know what's expected. So it's going back into that space of knowing you deserve what life is to offer you, and to start feeling that worthiness, and you're going to create more of it.
Fear is a big part of that, too. Oh, I don't know if I can. I want to get there, but I don't know if I... How do we break out of that fear? I mean, fear is good. That because you're getting out of your comfort zone, and you are growing at that point. Very important. But how do we take that step? How do we be courageous and move forward? Because a lot of times it's easier to just sit back and not do anything. Help us with that.
It sure is easier. And I would say, again, it goes back to how big is that fear. If the fear, when I work with people and they don't like their job at all, of course, you know, we all have bills, so we need, the income coming in, but it's the power of their thought. So if they think that they could quit tomorrow and know they're going to land something before their savings is gone, quit, do it. But most of us need to have that security blanket, knowing we are getting paid today. And so it would be little steps to start, you know, on the weekend or in the evening doing something towards the job that you want to do. Maybe it's a creative role that you're wanting to get into. So start slow building up to it. But it really matters upon your resistance to it. If you're really resistant to whatever that dream is, then just do baby steps. But if you're ready, and the more... I kind of liken it to working out. If I could go to the gym one day and be buff and Olympic athlete, that would be amazing. But they work daily, hours upon hours upon hours, to build that physique for their dream. So just positivity, it's a practice. So you're practicing daily on kinder thoughts to yourself, kinder thoughts to others, kinder thoughts to your boss, to your spouse. And it's to build upon that, and every little moment that you're building upon that, then you're growing out of that fear and stepping more into love.
And then that positive self-talk, I will do this, I will do this, I will achieve that. And
I can do that.
Oh, go ahead. I can do that, right.
What if I could do this? What if is a really good game to play? Like, what if I had that car that I've been dreaming about? What if I could take that vacation and get into that imaginatory space instead of, well, I can't afford that car, I can't afford that vacation?
Well, speaking of imaginatory space, you say, imagine having laser focus on your dreams, on your passion, on your purpose, and wishing that for all others too. Can you imagine? So talk about the time it takes to visualize, because you first got to see where you want to go before you start taking those steps. Why is that so critical?
I mean, I think it's critical to have a general end result. Years ago, I went to a conference, and when I was just starting Positive Focus, and I explained why Positive Focus was so important to me, and he pointed out to think about why it was important to me rather than Positive Focus. And so from there, I have worked with other like-minded people outside of my own organization that are doing similar work, which I love collaboration. So the more you can just focus on that general state of why it is you want to be healthy, why it is you want the abundance, why it is you want that vacation, and then start seeing it, because there's so many more opportunities in the world that we can't see from our spot in the world. So if you can be a little bit more general with it, then it opens up to more things coming into your visual space. There, it's called, in science, it's called your reticular activating system. So there's millions of things going on right where we are right now, and our brain cannot possibly function with all of it. So our brain filters out things that we've never seen before or never heard of before, and it shows us what we're comfortable with and what we're accustomed to. It's like when I keep using a car as an example. I guess I need a new car. But it's like when you buy a new car, all of a sudden you start seeing that car on the road, where 2 months before you did not see that particular model as much as you do now. But now you have brought it into your thought process, so it shows up.
So that's another great example, putting those positive thoughts out there and they'll continue to show up. And you said there, you know, you see the possibilities that are all around you, but you don't necessarily see them that are out in the distance. But as you make that journey, this is what it sounds like you're saying, and you start on that journey and those baby steps and those baby steps, new opportunities will emerge. Is that basically what you're saying?
Absolutely. And when you see other people with those opportunities, and see other people living their life full out, rather than being jealous about it, congratulate them and say, yes, I want that too. I mean, there's plenty for everyone. It's not, the only person you need to compete with is your own inner self. There's nobody else that you need to be better than bettering yourself, and things will work out.
Well, absolutely. And when you give good, positive thoughts and you congratulate people and you want the best for people, that's going to come back to you and help propel you on your journey as well. Let me ask you this, Carol. For someone that is down and out, who may be trying to dig themselves out of a dark place, or who wants and needs more out of life, what would you say to that person right now?
The very first thing I would say is to be kind and gentle to yourself. And if you're in that space, gentleness might and kindness might not look like I love you. That might be too far of a step to go if you're in self-hatred. But you can go into a better feeling space of maybe just being disappointed and moving up to frustration and then moving up to possibility and then moving up to probability and then moving up to happiness. I used to be that girl who would say, life is good, just enjoy it. And then I realized that not everybody feels it's good. So when I say that, they really want to slap me. So you really need to meet people with where they are and then hold them in that space. Hold them, not hold them in the space of where they are, but hold them in that space of knowing where they can be. Because if you're in depression, you know, it may take more work than if you're just frustrated. So there really are steps to follow. And my biggest step, I am not a big believer in saying the word always or never. I have done never in my life. But I am a big believer in saying never beat yourself up. Because where you are today, for whatever reason it is where you need to be. And then you can grow from there and enhance your life. I'm not a big believer in improving people, but I am a believer in enhancing people.
So start by not being so darn hard on yourself.
Right.
You talk a lot about gratitude, and you opened with gratitude. Why is that so important? And I think that the first thing from getting from, boy, that person's a negative person and sour on life, and the opposite is somebody that's happy and thankful. So get us on out of that. I'm in that negative spot. How do we start living a life of gratitude?
Well, I love that question because I think sometimes people think, if you're a positive person, then you don't live in reality. And that is so far from the truth. At least for me, I certainly have challenges in my life like everyone does, but I focus on the good part of that challenge. Like I will allow myself to be disappointed or upset when something happens, but I just don't stay there. So I think it's really important, again, is to be aware of how you feel and ask yourself, does this feel good? Does my body feel good in this emotion and move up from there? And it truly is baby steps. If you're in a financial struggle right now, maybe gratitude is hard, but you could probably be grateful that you have a warm bed to sleep in tonight, or that you're grateful that you woke up today. You know, so it really goes back to where you're at and to find gratitude. I've been practicing gratitude for so long. As soon as I wake up, I'm like grateful that the sun is out. I'm grateful for the birds chirping. I mean, I think so many people take so many things for granted, but I try to be cognizant and aware of my surroundings and be grateful for them.
Oh, that is so good. There is so much for all of us to be thankful for, a nice warm breeze on a summer day. And you said something really cool there. You said, I've been practicing gratitude. It's work. It's you have to actively pursue it. You have to practice it. You have to put a little bit of time into it.
Absolutely. I mean, what in our life haven't we practiced? When we get a job, whatever job, you know, we've gone to school or a trade school, and we've practiced our skill and we've practiced what we've been doing. And again, you know, when things are going well in our life, it's pretty easy to be grateful then. But that when we need to really dig deep into our gratitude is when we're in that challenging moment, to allow it to just be a moment and not dig ourselves into a 6-month issue of it now being a big issue because we've been so focused on what's not working in our life that we forget to focus on what is working.
And that gratitude then can help get you out of that dark spot, and coupled with that positive attitude. I'm going to get out of this. This is going to happen. I am going to achieve this. I'm not going to be bound to this. So all those kind of work together in conjunction. Carol, I want to spend a little time on your journey. What inspired you to become one of our leading positivity coaches today?
That, you know, I've been asked that question, and I don't have an exact answer other than the fact I call myself vertically challenged. I am 4'10", and I've been a positive person all my life. However, I realized when I was still in the corporate world, it's kind of silly, but there is a restaurant in Chicago. It's a fast food restaurant called Potbelly's, and it's a sandwich shop. And all of their counters to order your sandwiches are very high. So I would walk in and often at lunchtime be ignored because they didn't see me because the countertops are so high.
Right.
And then a friend pointed out to me one day, it's like, Carol, you walk in not to be seen. And it just hit me that it's like, oh my gosh, I've been so focused on not being seen that I created that. So it really has been more for me ever since then is to let people know that they matter and that they can be seen and that they are seen when they choose to be seen.
Wow, what an observation and way to reframe your thinking on that. Great story. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm sure you've had people around you, like that person that gave you advice, that have had an impact on your life. Give us another example. What is the best piece of advice overall you were ever given?
Actually, the best piece of advice was given by somebody that I only briefly met through work, and that was Dr. Wayne Dyer. I love his quote on, do you want to be right or do you want to be kind? And anytime I start to get into a discussion with somebody who I know is not in a place to want to be shifted, and that was something I learned too quick when I started doing this work, is I now make sure when I'm working with people on positivity that they are wanting the shift. I am not there to make people be positive, but I am there to help people with their positivity when they're ready. And so immediately comes to my mind, it's like, do I want to be right here or do I want to be kind? And I want to be kind.
That's terrific. I love that. You know, I ask all of my guests similar questions, and one of them is about joy, something I think we need to cultivate more in our lives. So here goes. Besides family and career, what brings you joy in life?
Can I give you two things?
Oh my gosh, please do. Let it rip.
Okay, being of service to others. I love helping people. And so that's part of the organization, is we do a lot of gives back type thing. But my second thing that brings me joy, and it may be my first, is sailing. I love being on the water. And I actually volunteer for an organization here in Chicago that teaches handicapped people how to sail. So I'm able to put my two favorite joys together.
Oh, so fun. That's terrific. I love that. So would you have any advice? How do we cultivate more joy in our own lives? What do you think?
I think I'm going to go back to gratitude. I think the more that we're focused on being grateful for the things that we take for granted. I have a family member who is older and on 24 hours of oxygen. I am very grateful that I breathe on my own every day. So it's really going back and finding everything. And it may sound silly at first, but to really spend your day being aware and looking at things like, oh, I'm really grateful for that beautiful flower. Oh, I'm grateful for this. And to get laser focused on gratitude, and you're going to realize very quickly how joyful you are. I like to smile at people on the street and just to see people smiling back and things. So just little things. I think sometimes we feel like we have to do these monumental steps to be happy, but really it's the small things and appreciating them that grows into, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I had a really good day today, and I didn't even think about the things that have been upsetting me.
As you pay more attention to practicing gratitude, you will begin to discover more joy in your life.
Right, and I think it's important to understand it's okay to be sad. And we have that emotion for a reason. So I don't want people to think that when they're sad or they just had a negative thought or they yelled something at somebody that they shouldn't have, to start beating themselves up over it. Again, it's about the awareness of it. And you get to decide. When you're aware that you're mad or you're aware that you're sad, then it's a conscious choice. It's like, yep, I'm pretty frustrated right now. I'm going to be frustrated for the afternoon because I'm that frustrated. But being aware of it, it's like, oh, this frustration really doesn't feel good. What can I do to be feeling better? And sometimes it's remove yourself from that frustration. Go take a walk. You know, go get fresh air. Read a chapter in a book or do something completely different than what you're frustrated at. But it's totally okay to have all of those negative emotions. You just don't want to live in them.
Well, being self-aware,
I always say let fear visit, but don't invite it to move in.
Good quote. I like that. Well, you talk about the feeling, and boy, this doesn't feel right. You said earlier, you know, I don't really pay so much attention to words, but I pay attention to the feeling. And I think really understanding the feelings that you have inside, like, ooh, this doesn't feel good right now. How do I deal with this? And then having a strategy to be able to deal with it is what really makes sense and what I think can really help people.
One of my strategies is, especially when dealing with people that you're frustrated with, whether it's a boss, spouse, friend, is to, you get into that frustration of they've made you mad for whatever, think of three things that you appreciate about that person. And that's going to shift your focus back into appreciation rather than frustration. And we all have those moments where we're so frustrated that we can't even begin to think of three things. But then we can realize that one person, the vast majority of our relationships are far easier than this. So that contrast is allowing us to appreciate all of our other relationships.
Such good advice. So if you walk away with one thing from this podcast today, take that one with you, because that's easy and simple to do and can diffuse a situation, or when you are feeling bad, can instantly make you feel better. So that's all good right there, Carol. All good. So I have this theory that most high-performing people have a certain way they start their day, whether it be 15 minutes reading or writing thank yous or meditating. Let me ask you this. How do you start your day?
I start my day, I usually listen to a YouTube video of one of my favorite works, which is Abraham Hicks. And then I go into gratitude. Before I get out of bed, I comment, it's like, I'm excited to see what today offers. And I just get into that space of being ready to face the day in gratitude.
See, now that's an interesting mindset. I can't wait to see what the day offers. I think a lot of us got out of bed and like, oh God, I've got to do this and I got to do that.
Yeah.
Ah,
oh, it's Monday
meeting.
Again.
Ah, and I've got to get
people
the kids
live
out of,
waiting for Friday for the weekend. Because they think
yes.
that work has to be burdensome. And, I mean, we all, there's people out there who are certainly doing jobs that they don't want to do. And I'm not at all encouraging people to just quit and be happy. But you can find appreciation. Maybe that job, it's paying your rent. So that is something to appreciate out of it. But, you know, life is really precious. So there's some times where there's something really exciting coming up in my life, but I even remind myself, do not wish today away. I don't get it back. So really focus on enjoying today. Tomorrow is going to come in its 24-hour cycle. I can't change that, but I can focus on what I'm loving today.
That's that whole living in the moment.
Moment,
thing.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense. I think we're so focused on, oh, coming up, I've got to do this, and coming up, I've got to do that. And, oh, and that's coming up that we're not paying attention to the moment that we have right now. So, again, great advice, Carol. Thank you so much. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Carol Miller. And if I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more meaning, to have more enjoyment. And if we do that slowly, I believe we make the world a better place. I know that sounds silly, but that's what I believe. So we're trying to reach the most people we can. If you can, jump on over to iTunes after the interview and rate and review the show. Leave comments. Tell me what you're interested in. Tell me what you're concerned about. And by doing that, we gain a wider audience. So if you could take 30 seconds and do that after the interview with Carol, I would greatly appreciate it. The High Five with Carol is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And for you, my favorite listener, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So I'm rolling through this book, Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. It's really cool. It talks about a lot of the stuff that we talk about right here on Which Way is Life. How can I have more meaning and purpose in my life? So if you want to check it out, it's called Designing Your Life. You can download it now for free. Just go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Once again, audibletrial.com/whichwayislife for your free audio book. Which Way is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised by what's inside. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of, that's right, sugar. You want to find a salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt brand is an unrefined salt from an ancient ocean in central Utah. Think about our oceans today. They are not as clean as they used to be. Real Salt brand sea salt formed long before man-made pollution was a problem. With Real Salt, you get all the minerals, all the flavor, all the benefits of sea salt that's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with Carol Miller. Carol, are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it.
Beautiful. What's your favorite quote? I have a feeling you're going to bring it right here.
I am. My very favorite quote is from Hafiz, and it's, even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole world.
That's beautiful. Now, who is the author of that? It's gorgeous.
It's Hafiz, H-A-F-I-Z.
I love it. Question number two. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I love that question because knowing what I know now, my advice, I guess, would be to be gentler on myself. But I know who I am now is because of who I was when I was young. So changing it would make me a different person today.
Wow, interesting answer to that question. Very interesting. I often don't get that. Number three, if you had to recommend a book to our audience, what would it be?
There's two books that I would say that are my favorites, and one's actually a children's book by Neil Donald Walsh, and it's called The Little Soul in the Sun. It's a very spiritual, easy principles to understand. And then my love for Wayne Dyer would be There is a Spiritual Solution for Every Problem. Again, he writes in very simplistic, easy-to-understand terms.
All right, question number four. What's your favorite health app or health resource you can share?
My favorite health resource is, again, it's just to go back to gratitude and just to focus on my thoughts, which allow me to be healthier in my mind, body, and spirit.
All right, and question number five. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
To love myself more.
So simple, but can yet pay huge dividends, that's for sure. Carol, thank you so much. I've so enjoyed talking with you today. You brought great value to our listeners today. Thank you again. How can we connect and learn more about you?
It has been my pleasure. And you can connect through, I have two websites, positive-focus.com and CarolCCMiller.com, both of which are on Facebook. I'm there quite often, so join me for conversation there.
I love that. And I do have to ask you one last question, though. I see in your Twitter profile you have a hashtag St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes.
I'm a Cubs fan. I got to tell you, all this positivity about to go right out the window right now.
I grew up in Central Illinois, which was actually a little bit closer to St. Louis, and my family's Cardinal fan. So, yes, until this past year, it was very easy to be a Cardinal fan living in Chicago. But I'm practicing my gratitude daily this baseball season.
The Cardinals are bringing it out of you. I love it. Carol, thank you so much again. I've so enjoyed talking with you. And once again, please remember, enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Thank you again for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And if I could ask a quick favor, please take 30 seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. The reason being is we want to attract more people just like you to the show, and the only way we can do that is if you rate it, which helps the show gain more visibility. And I'd love it if you would leave a review as well. If you could do that for me, I would appreciate it. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter. Hit me up there. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.